You may be seated if you can. And if you can't, stand up. I don't care. Glory to God. Give the wonderful worship team another hand clap. They did a marvelous job. David, excellent. Excellent. Praise the Lord. It's always a higher honor to come to the mountain. I don't really call this place the mountain. I call it the high place. I like, you know, when I was a sinner, I used to like to get high. But now I'm a Christian, I still like to get high. Praise God. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. And I tell you what, if you don't have a good home church, here's a good one. How do you know? I'm here. I don't go to bad churches. Praise God. God is so good and gracious. Give Jesus one more hand clap as I get a little closer to you. Praise the Lord. I apologize, my wife's not here today. She's pastoring the church. See, I never thought my wife would become a pastor. She called me the other day. She said, "You need any counseling?" I said, "No." "Would you like my tapes on submission?" "No, I don't want that either." I said, "You need healing in your eyes? Whose name's on all these buildings?" She said, "Whose name's on your check?" She said, "Shut up." I said, "I will." Such a blessing of the Lord. Now, thank you for coming today. I always start a meeting out. How many of you watch our television show? Watch it? You should watch it. It cost me millions of dollars. You ought to watch that show. You'll go to hell if you don't watch. No, I don't know about that, but I mean, you know, praise the Lord. God is so good. I want to wish everybody happy St. Patrick's Day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All the Irish, they're going crazy in New Orleans and everything. You know, we have a lot of Irish and we have a lot of everything in New Orleans, but God is so good and great. Quickly come, Roy. I brought some resource material since I saw you last. I've heard it all. It's very good. God is so good and gracious. Hallelujah. Thank you, Roy. My Lord, you dress up when you come here, don't you? Praise God. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Last year, the Lord gave me a theme that I really love. And he suggested if you could define Christianity and put it in one word, what would it be? And I said, "What did you say, Lord?" He said, "If you could define Christianity and put it in one word, what would it be?" So I'm thinking Holy Ghost, miracle, salvation, healing, you know, things like that. And he said, "Advance."
Yes.
He said, "Everything I do advances." Notice the whole armor of God is only for your front parts, nothing for your back, because you never turn around and you never look back.
That's right.
Never.
That's right.
In any way, shape, or form. And God said, "Go in the world and preach the gospel to how many creatures?
All.
How many of them?
All.
Now, to preach to all people, that's 7.5 to 7.8 billion people. It must take increase to do that.
Yes.
To fly all over the world to do those things, or however you get there. Of course, if these socialism people take over, you go, no more ships, no more planes. So you can be going to Hawaii like this. How dumb can that be? Lord Jesus, it's the most amazing thing. The Lord gave me this, and I wrote a book on it called Advancement Must Be a Revelation That Turns Into an Inspiration That Produces a Manifestation. Because I don't care how much you confess, you must possess. Because see, that's what the world sees. They see possessions. Now, you're going to get some criticism with that, but show them the possessions, spiritually, physically, and financially, every area of your life, because they don't have faith to receive that. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they're foolishness unto him. So they go by what they see. So show them something.
Amen.
And I bless you. This is a brand new book, and we can't even keep it on the shelf. In fact, this is taught on Wall Street.
Wow.
To hedge fund. I got two books that are taught on Wall Street to hedge fund operators, is this one and the Big 12. In fact, I had a couple of them call me today. They said, "You know, you need to quit that preaching business and get on this street. You know how to work this street." I said, "I'll never quit the preaching business, because it's what built the street." And it's such a blessing. That's back there if you'd like to get that, avail yourself to it. And also this, a lot of people get saved, but they don't understand transformation. They want Jesus as Savior, but they don't understand that he must become Lord. It's a new DVD called The Understanding of Transformation. And when you understand, a lot of people get saved, they go, "Well, you know, I believe in grace, and so I don't, it made no difference what I do." Excuse me. God did not give you grace to erase holiness. He did not give you grace to erase discipline. He gave you grace because there's no way you could have got in there. You see what I'm saying? So you see, when somebody tells me that, they understand salvation, but they don't understand transformation. They understand Jesus as Savior, but they don't understand him as Lord. And when you understand him as Lord, he's spiritual, physical, financial, every facet of your life. I'm talking fast here. I don't want to hold you too long today. I hope you can get this as a brand new DVD. That's back there. And then here, you know, when I was born, I lived at the bottom. And so I started to write a book called Living at the Top. I've learned to live at the top. I know what it is to be blessed. I've been out of debt since 1982. I have no concept of debt in my foreign offices, in my England offices, in my American office, and even at my house. We have no concept of that. It's just a blessing of the Lord. And I hope you can come to the Visionary Conference. It's not just for preachers, for everyone, because I'll be dealing with fellowship and with your vision. You know, I've always said this. If you're not talking about your vision is talking about you. It's saying you're lazy. See, you must accomplish and complete what God has called you to do in life, spiritual, physical, and financial, and don't take no for an answer. Here's a little statement. I never take no from a person who can't say yes. You ought to write that down. That'll help you out. I always ask, but can you say yes? No, get me somebody higher. There's always somebody that can say yes. You just got to get to them. See what I'm saying? And when you get to the Most High, he says yes. So this is this book here, I'd say it's in paperback and I just sold out. We've had many of a lot of top best-selling books. If you want to stay at the bottom too long, you begin to lose your eyes. You ever notice fish when they get down in the deep fish? Some are born with no eyes because they swim in darkness. You see what I'm saying? You need to see some things. That's back there, available up to the book and resource table if you so desire, and God will richly bless you. Stand to your feet one more time. Stretch a little bit. If you got to rub something, rub it quick. Get it over with. Hallelujah, glory. I was watching that, me preaching in 96. My hair was a little grayer then. It's white. I don't think it can get any whiter now. It's now equal to my teeth. My hair. Okay, you can be seated. When George started talking, I had a wonderful sermon. Good God. This is so great, Lord Jesus. It's right here. But it ain't for you, so we're going to pick that up. Glory to God. He started talking on the offering, and I've talked a little bit about this verse, and I felt led of the Lord, moved by the Spirit of God to do that. So if you got your Bibles, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And if you don't mind, I'd like to put some scripture on the screen, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I like the old King James Version because it's so poetical. You ever notice most people, when they quote scripture, they quote the old King James Version because it's hard to quote the Amplified. There are a lot of words in the Amplified, you know what I'm saying? Almost need a lawyer to make you understand that sometimes, but it's a good translation. And I people have asked me all the time, why don't I struggle in life? I've had many opportunities to fail. I just don't take any. I've been down in 3 airplane crashes, so I decided to buy my own plane. Of course, last year they were eating my lunch. They said I had 4 jets. Y'all remember saying all that? ABC, CBS. I was in New York. ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, HBO. I said, what y'all doing here? At the Southwest Believers Convention last night, I got hit by Inside Edition. You might have seen that if you were in that line signing those books. And all kinds of crazy. They said I have 4 jets. Well, if I have 4 jets, I need to make a theft report because 3 of them are missing. And if I can find them, George, I'll give you another one if you want it. Bless God. Hallelujah. I mean, just amazing. But they couldn't stop. It didn't hurt us in any way, shape, or form. Now, and all I said was I'm believing God for a Falcon 7 X8. All I said, and how many of you get my pardon letter or you get my magazine? Have I ever wrote you and asked you for any money for that plane? I never haven't raised a dime on that plane, not a dollar, 0. Because the Lord said that one would just come. So that's just the way it is. And we just built and finished our brand new hangar, built a complete hangar, my Lord, without the plane yet. Now, that's faith, isn't it? But it's coming. I can see it coming. Whoa, Lord Jesus. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. And can I just say that, felt the Lord say that, I'm going to put this in the message here. You know, a lot of people criticize you if you have a jet or you have a plane, you know? Well, you know, there's a great church here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area called Gateway Church. Pastor Robert Morris, great church, don't misunderstand. Well, last year they paid off $50 million in debt. Now, nobody got mad about that. Over 50 million, because he has about 30,000 people in his church, I think. That's what he needs to preach to his congregation. Then he'd say, well, bless God, you ought to use that, take that money and feed the poor. Well, then you'd be outside when it's raining. If you went to Gateway Church. You follow what I'm saying? So nobody got mad to pay off that debt, and I'm so glad that they did. And, let me show you, but why do you need a plane? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't need all those buildings. See, my congregation is the world. I need the plane. See, all it is a tool, a simple tool to preach the gospel. I don't want to learn how to fly it. I'm not interested in any of that. Brother Copeland asks me all the time, don't you want to learn how to fly? No, I'd like to learn how to land. That's all I'm interested in. If those boys pass out, praise God, get that plane on the ground. And one time I told Brother Copeland something that was kind of dumb. You don't tell a fine pilot like Brother Copeland. I said, you know, Kenneth, I can almost land this plane. He looked at me and smiled and said, Jesse, that's crashing. Must have been that Vienna sausage that messed my mind up or something. I don't know. Yeah, that is because you don't almost land a plane, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to go to verse 6. And if you don't mind, if you can put some scripture on the screen, don't worry about me too much. Put some scripture on the screen. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and I'm going to just preach out of my spirit. And I've done this before, but I felt a lot of the Lord when you were talking about your offering for the tithe and offering. He says, but this I say, he was sow sparingly, shall reap also sparingly. And he was sow bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, what part of that you don't understand?
Right.
What part of that you didn't get? Because there's no faith in that verse whatsoever at all. None. Zero. That's just action and reaction. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Next verse. It says every man, that means every person, according as he purposed in his heart, not in his head. So you don't need a heart bypass, you need a head bypass. Now, every man according as he purposed in his heart. Watch this. So let him give. So there's a reason for giving. It's done by purpose. What is purpose? Purpose affords you anchorage in the times of battle. Purpose gives you a foundation if you're a person of purpose. He says, every man according as he purposed in his heart. So let him give. Put the scripture back up. So let him give, not grudgingly. Now watch this. Or of necessity. Now, I've been wrongly criticized because I never asked God for a need. I never will. If you're asking God for a need, you're living from need to need. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. So I don't tell God what I need. You've heard me say it before. I tell God what I want. Because see, when you get what you want, you destroy all you need. When you have what you want, you don't even think about need. Your children don't ask you for a need. They tell you what they want. If you're a grandparent or you're a parent, you're in a grocery store somewhere. Watch it. Your grandchild or your child will say, Grandma, Mama, I want some ice cream. Is that greed?
No,
that's just a child wanting some ice cream, right? Why do you think it's greed to tell your Heavenly Father what you want?
Amen.
Why? He's El Elyon. He's Abba Father, Daddy, Daddy. Why do you have a problem with that? Because the church world has partnered. I'm gonna make somebody mad with this. The church world has partnered with Satan over poverty. I'm gonna deal with some of that in the Southwest Believers Convention. They partnered with that. They say poverty is a blessing. No, it's a curse. There's even one church in the book of Revelation that Satan's got his own seat. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. I refuse to partner with Satan on anything. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care how much power he thinks he has. My prosperity will destroy his poverty. Because I know the difference between a manifestation and a temptation. That's another sermon. Every man, put scripture up, every man according as he purposes, so let him give, not grudging or of necessity. So I don't tell God what I need, I tell him what I want. Why? Wow, the law is my shepherd, I shall not.
Want.
Let patience have its perfect work, that you're perfect and entire.
Want.
The young lions do suffer lack, but he that seeks my face shall not want any good thing. So there's no problem with want. See, that's why people are happy in heaven, because they got what they want.
Amen.
Why my wife is so happy? She got what she wanted. I was in Honolulu, it was last year, and you can put my face back up. I'm going to go back to that scripture in a minute. I know, he's trying to do it. Which one do I do? Which one do I do? You do whatever you want to. Anyway, I've been to Hawaii probably 105 times, I guess. Kathy says, Jesse, look at the ocean. I said, I seen it. To me, it's just water. You understand what I'm saying? But good God, man. You know, so usually what I do when I go to Honolulu, you know, they all go on the beach. I close all the windows. I close the curtains and everything. And I watch movies. I like that TCM classic movies, you know, some of that. I just enjoy that kind of stuff. And because that's how I relax. You see what I'm saying? And anyway, to make a long story short, she said, Jesse, I'm going to the Ala Moana Mall. And that's, anybody ever been to Honolulu? That Ala Moana Mall, the third floor will suck oxygen out your wallet. Because that's the third floor of Givenchy, Gucci, Christian Dior, Chanel, Louis Vuitton. I'm talking, my God, man, if you spit, it comes out money. That third floor. First floor for regular people. Third floor, it's up there. So anyway, and I was watching ESPN and I saw LeBron James. I like LeBron James, you know. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I like. And I would just listen to, I guess. So Kathy said, Jesse, you want to come with me to the Ala Moana Mall? I don't think this is arrogance or cockiness. This is confidence and assurance, what I'm about ready to say. I said, no, I'm going to watch that game. I want to watch, you know. And she said, oh, okay. So as she was walking out, something hit me. I said, hey, Kathy. And she said, what? I said, try to break me. She said, what? I said, try to break me. Get anything you want. I don't care how much you want. I don't care how expensive it is. Get anything you want. I just made you mad. You know what? I really don't care. And I don't mean that to be rude. Just try it, Mama, because you can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. Give it your best shot. She just looked at me like I lost my mind. Most women would have ran, most wives would have ran out that door. She come back 6 hours later. I said, what'd you get? She said, nothing. I said, nothing? She said, well, you know, she said, I want to see everything before I get some. I said, Kathy, it take more than one day. It take more than 2 weeks to see everything at the Ala Moana Mall, for God's sake. She said, you really meant that? I said, you can't break me. Got too much seed in the ground. You can't. It's impossible. Give it your best shot. It will not happen. And I'm going to deal with this in just a minute. Why? Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth. Didn't say he like it. He loveth a cheerful giver. Now watch this. Purpose. Every man according to his purpose. Wherever there's purpose, there's prayer. When you're a person of purpose, you become a person of prayer. When purpose and prayer connect together, you become a person of perception. So you could read that verse this way. Every man according as he purposed, prayed and perceived. But when purpose, prayer and perception comes into existence, then power is taking place. So you could read that verse. Every man according as his purpose, prayed, perceived, empowered. So let him give. Not grudging nor necessity. Now, the problem with most people, they love the power part the best. Yet it's the most dangerous part of it. Why? Because you must be superior to power instead of driven by power. The reason why preachers mess up or politicians mess up, because they're driven by power instead of being superior to it. Prime example is the Lord Jesus Christ. They're always trying to kill him. They're trying to push him off cliffs. I mean, my God, the man, I mean, my Lord, he really needed security. He needed KCM security. Yes. I mean, you think about it, my Lord Jesus. I mean, they're always trying to push him off. And you know, and finally, you know, they said all kind of crazy things. He said, and they wanted to push him up. And this is what Jesus said. He said, do you know I can call more than 12 legions of angels to handle this situation? Let me give you an idea how much power that is. One angel in the Bible knocked down 185,000 men. One. Now, if 12 legions of angels would have come, 20 billion, 400 million men would have bit the dust in one lick. But the world has never known that kind of population. But because Jesus was superior to that power, instead of driven by that power, he went to the cross so you didn't have to go. Do you see that? So you got to understand something about money. You need money in the economic world, but you must be superior to it instead of driven by it. And when you're buying what you want, that's not being driven by that. See, it's not greed, it's growth. When you learn to grow in the fullness of the stature of Christ. Faithfulness, not just faith, fullness of faith. Every man according to his purpose, prayed, perceived, and empowered, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I'll give you a little hint. How many of you need some money? Hold your hand up. Look at that. You know why you need money? Because you don't know how much money you want. Should I tell him, Jesus? Yeah, he said, yeah, okay. See, that's your problem. You're living from need to need. You're trying to meet your needs. That's not your job. God said he'll supply. How many need? How many need? Or let me get black with it. How many need? T.D. Jake said, Jesse, you're the blackest white man ever saw in my life. I said, I'm a Cajun, brother Bishop Jakes. I might be black. I don't know. We marry anybody we could get our hands on. We didn't care. We were full of the devil, us, boy, but we just marry anybody. See, the reason why you need money, because you don't know how much money you want. So you keep going forward trying to meet a need. Now, I'm going to do this at Believer's Convention. See, and I don't deal with that at all. I never ask God for need. It's a waste of spiritual energy. When he said he would supply all my need according to his riches and glory. So I'm certainly not concerned about the economy of the United States or the economy of Europe. Or the economy of the world. Because my blessing doesn't come from those economies. Even though I'm in the world, I'm not of the world. Amen. You see, it comes according to his riches and glory. And I've been doing a study on these riches. And let me tell you something about God Almighty. He ain't hurting. He's not hurting. That's why he never struggles. Why does God not struggle? Because he never begins. He finishes, then he begins. That's why you never can surprise him. See, if you think Jesus died 2,000 years ago on the cross, you're going to lose your ever-loving mind. That was his physical death. The Bible said he was a lamb led to the slaughter before the foundations of the earth. See, he already knew what was going to happen. So he already knew what you're going to ask for. So that's why he don't struggle with those things, because he's finished. Now he says, finish, now begin. So that's what faith does. Faith is always finished. See, now faith is. It's finished. Now begin. Or walk the walk of faith. because it's already finished. So if you don't know where you're going, how are you going to know when you get there? So that's the problem with a lot of people. So I never deal with needs at all. I don't have any needs. I have a lot of wants. Lost a few of you right there. See, spiritual, physical, and financial. When you understand something, let me show you something. See, thank you, Holy Ghost. The word of faith backed up on some areas. I remember when I first came into this, quote, fellowship, they preached on divine healing. Boy, but there wasn't too many sick. You didn't have any altar call. Why ain't nobody sick? I mean, people just, if you drop your pencil, you lost 2 weeks. Good Jesus, just right. Then they went to another level called divine health. Oh, Jesus, that you would never even get sick. So people quit getting sick. But they didn't stay there. They went to divine life, three of them. Three facets, climbing that ladder. Divine healing, divine health, divine life. But they began to back up a few years back. Some people backing up saying, well, you know, I think I got overbalanced. So watch it. All of a sudden, you don't hear nothing about divine life. And if you do, they think it's arrogance and cockiness. But they didn't do that in the 70s. Why? Because it was being preached. Watch it. They went past. They went lower than divine health. Now you just expect it. And divine healing, we had divine healing. And you know how God is. Sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. I read an article one time in a Christian magazine, when God doesn't heal, you don't lost your ever loving mind. God has healed every person that ever wanted it. Yes. Not needed it. Well, I tried, don't get nothing done. Luke 5:17 tells you this, that, you know, that the Pharisee and the doctor, the law was sitting by every town and nation, and the power of the law was present to heal them. To heal who? You know the old statement, to heal who? To heal the Pharisee and the doctor of the law. They didn't get any of it. Why? Because the sick of the palsy guy showed up. But see, he's the one got the miracle. Why? Because he had four crazy friends. He had four friends that said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear this man's roof up to get you inside this house. Somebody decided to pay for that man's roof. Now, that's a pretty good friend. Well, we're going to get you here. If we get you in front of Jesus, you can walk out. We ain't got to worry about it. Now, watch the power of the Lord was present not to heal the sick of the palsy, but to heal the doctors of the law sitting by. Then he said a statement that a lot of people do not understand. He said, what is easier, to forgive sins or to say to take up your bed and walk? Can I say that? You know, it was very hard for Jesus to forgive sins. Forgiving sin is not easy. He said, what is easier, to say to forgive your sins or to say, rise up and walk, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power, dunamis, dynamos, however you want to say it, on the earth to forgive sin. Take up your bed and walk and get out of here. Don't wait for the cameras. Just go home. In other words, start now manifesting what you just received. You don't even have to stop and do an interview. Just keep walking, because that's what you wanted to do in the first place. So now that man got what he wanted. The Pharisee and the doctor of the law didn't get a thing. Why? They partnered with homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, and theological thought. They partnered with all this stuff. Well, you just never know how God is. But the sick of the palsy said, I'm taking what I just got. Isn't that amazing? So every man according as his purpose, prayer, perceived, and power, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I like the next verse. I think it's verse 8. And God is, that I call that the black verse. That is the black verse in the Bible. And God is able. Can you hear a black preacher? And then they say, the Lord. Hey. I said, the Lord, 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 Lord. And now white people don't know how to do that. They go, they try to miss that. And God is able to make how much grace? How much grace? That's a lot of grace, isn't it? Abound toward who? Toward who? So it's not for the Lord's sake, it's for your sake. And God is able to make all grace abound to it that you what?
Always.
Whoa. How many times?
Always.
How many times?
Always.
No sin. Having what?
Always.
What are you mad at me because I have all? Why are you mad at me? I'm just being biblical. Watch this. Having what?
Always.
Next word. Whoa, Jesus. Well, what about the economy? We ain't talking about the economy. We're talking about El Shaddai, El Elyon, Jehovah Sid Kanu, Jehovah Rama, Jehovah Soho. So, my God, you're talking to God that's powerful. Having all sufficiency, right? In how many things?
All.
How many? many things?
All.
How many things?
All.
What are we going to believe the Bible? Why do we criticize people that are walking in that verse? Because they partnered with Satan. Ooh, I'm going to get some ugly letters. Poverty's a blessing. Why don't you just sell your house and go live under a bridge? Have it all sufficient. How many things?
All.
All things. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. You know, the Lord don't mind you having things. Church world does. Secular world does. Oh, Lord, they have fits about that. But see, Jesus had sufficiency in all things. Amen. Yet the church world said he was poor. See, when you partner with Satan, you get his thoughts. When was Jesus poor? When? He had 12 full-time people on his staff. Some were married. He took care of them. He had 70 part-time people that he sent out. So that's 82 people that work for the Jesus of Nazareth Evangelistic Association. I don't hear any of them struggle. I never heard Jesus say, if y'all don't help us today, we can't go to Capernaum. Who needs a boat when you can walk on the water? Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, you don't gamble for rags. They gambled for his robe. You gamble to get something better than what you got. See, but nobody ever wants to think that. Well, he said, we believe the word. Really? I don't think so. Because he said, all sufficient in all things. Watch this. Now, this is for all you pastors. May abound to how many good works? To every, how many? See, there are a lot of people worried about Jesse Duplantis, Jerry Savelle, Keith Moore, Bill Winston, Creflo A. Dollar Jr., Kenneth Copeland, because boy, if you get those guys coming, they're going to suck all the money out of the town. Well, either you lying or God's lying, I pick you. Because it says you may abound to how many work?
Every.
How many?
Every.
So what are you worried about somebody getting your tithe? Lost a few of you right there, didn't I? Isn't that amazing? You don't pay at Wendy's and eat at McDonald's. So why wouldn't you tithe to your church instead of tithing to some other place? Don't shout me down. Listen to me. May abound to every good work. Next verse. He is dispersed abroad. Ooh, that means you're global. He hath given to the poor. Now, I like that. Why? You're getting them out of poverty. His righteousness, oh, I like that part, remaineth forever. So when people get mad at me, brother, they say, who do you think you are? I say, righteous. I am one of the most righteous brothers. I'm just righteous. Who do you see, that making somebody mad right now? No, I'm just quoting you. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm quoting you line upon line, precept upon precept. His righteousness remaineth forever. My God. That's because of the covenant of grace. But you don't abuse that. Go to the next verse. Look at the next verse. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, didn't say to the keeper, did it? Can I say what I, this is revelation, I'm going to bring this up. If you think I'm going to stop giving when I get to heaven, you done lost your mind. Because see, all desires are given to you. How I know that? I've been there. I don't believe it. I don't care. Still the truth. If you think I'm going to stop giving when I walk into the portals of glory, because see, all desires are given to you. I'm going to give to God for eternity. Amen. Why? I'm a minister that ministers seed to the sower. Both minister bread, that's physical substance for your food, and watch this, multiply your seed. So good Lord, this thing's getting bigger by the moment. And increase the fruits of your what? How many times have you seen the word all, always, all sufficiency? I mean, how many times does God have to say this? How many times? When are we going to believe this? And just instead of just mental assenting to the fact that he put it in a book. See, now he that ministers seed to the sower ministers bread for your food, multiplies your seed, so decreases the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in, next verse, being enriched in how much? All bound to being, not just rich, enriched. In how many things? My theme this year, if you got my partner, your everything is his anything. There it is right there. In everything to all bountifulness. Not just some bountifulness. To all bountifulness. That's why I told Kathy, try to break me. Which causes through us thanksgiving to God. No, he's saying, you say thank you for everything because you have all bountifulness in everything, all righteousness, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. Yeah, but quit going by what you see. You're looking at the wrong thing. You should be looking at the stars instead of looking at the ground. You see what I'm saying? So when you know your destiny and your destination, then you'll understand what God is saying. I want to talk about that word all. All. Now, it angers people when you have all. All. Well, you don't have your plan. Yes, I do. Can you see it? No. Well, the evidence of it's not seen, so I got it. Let me go over here. You didn't get that. See? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, what happens when you see it? It's no longer faith. It's manifestation. You see? So when you walk by faith and talk by faith, you do things before you physically manifest something. So I built a hangar. What are you doing? Where's the new plane? Can you see it? No, I got it. What? No. You want to see something? Yeah, look at the hangar. Yeah, but my God, that's nice. Yeah. Wait till you see what's in it. I opened up the door and he said, there's nothing. I said, no, the evidence of it's not seen. It's full. Amen. You see, when David said, you ought to get a 747, bring everybody over there. I wouldn't have a problem believing that. Why? Qantas has got 747s. Delta got 747s, 777s, all these big, huge aircraft. In other words, the church world is allowed and the world has allowed the center to have it, but they don't allow the Christian to have it. That's not the center. That's not those people's fault. That's the church's fault. Because they partnered with Satan. On poverty. They even said it like this, holy poverty. When is poverty holy? Watch this. Well, you know how some healing's not for the day. See, that's partnered with the devil. You partnered with the devil over sickness. Don't shout me down. How can you say healing is not for today? You ought to take a trip to Memphis, Tennessee, and just walk around St. Jude's Hospital. Oh my God. Man, they got these kids 2 and 3 years old fighting for their lives with cancer. Got little tubes coming out of their nose, taking chemotherapy and radiation. I mean, this is painful stuff. And you going to tell me that God sent this to teach these children or their parents something? But you see, when you've partnered with an enemy, you think like the enemy. You steal, you kill, and you destroy. This is strong teaching. You see, God is fed up with this stuff. See, because the time is at hand for us to receive all. See, I had a man tell me, he said, but Jesse, you don't get excited when a miracle takes place. No. Why? It should be a common occurrence. I get excited when it doesn't take place. What's wrong? Wait a minute. This is not right. Instead of saying, well, if it be his will, not, you know, somebody says that they don't know his will. If you want to know the will of God, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation. Between those four chapters, or 1,186 chapters of stealing, killing, and destroying by an archenemy called Satan. But Jesus is coming back. And we're going back to Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation. So, live long. And so if you can't believe God, believe Spock. Yes. But the problem with the church, where they don't arrive, they think this is a Hollywood sign, when this is a wealth sign in the Jewish world. But the problem with it, they've done this instead. Instead of this. You see, when you understand that God is able. So George, I never tell him what I need. I tell him what I want because he's able. That is so simple. And when you understand that he is El Shaddai and he's made me El Shaddad. My granddaughter, so such a blessing. just made 11 years old. Oh, we had a party. And I just looked at her and I said, I didn't ask her, Meredith, what do you need for your 11-year-old birthday? 11-year-old birthday. I didn't say that. I said, what you want? She goes, anything? I say, anything. This is grandfather. She said, I got to think about that. Now, most kids that are raised in poverty would have went, ah! But she's not used to that. Because we did not partner with poverty. And we teach her to work. We are people that work. I'm a generation where I don't understand some millennials. You stay at your mama's house and you're 40 years old? What's your problem, boy? I don't ever remember, George, in my entire life growing up, that when summertime came, you got out of school, that wasn't every kid I knew was looking for a summer job. And if you couldn't find it, you cutting grass or doing what, pulling weed, whatever. Why? Because it made a man out of you. It made a woman out of you. You see what I'm saying? It taught you to work. See, and you got to understand, because faith without works. So you see, I work my faith. I'm working it constantly. And I do that by impossible situations that I cannot do. I believe the unbelievable. I receive the impossible because it's doable. 4 years ago, I was thinking about, you know, it takes a lot of money to run out millions a month to run that ministry, see. But that's not a problem. And I've been preaching 43 years. I've been in full-time ministry 41. And I've never had a financial deficit. Now, you know, they're trying to figure out why. And I tell them, but they won't believe me. They think it's some method. They think it's because of my business sense. I have a little business sense. Don't misunderstand me. Yeah, not, thank God for that. But what I'm saying, you know why I've never had a financial deficit? I didn't believe for one. Do you know how many preachers told me now, boy, get ready, son. Now you're going on the ministry. And they figure out somebody else's suffering. And they figured if they suffer, I got to suffer. Well, what about the first church? What about it? Well, they suffered. Why? Do you know Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the world? Is that correct? Yes. If they'd have done what they were supposed to do, the only people that would have been in Rome was the Rome church. The only person that would have been in Jerusalem would have been Pastor James. They'd have been out all over the world preaching the gospel. Right. Nero couldn't have killed them because they wouldn't have been there. Right. They should have been working their faith. So I was looking at my budget, different things. Budgets cost you something. Vision brings you something. So I deal more with vision, but I have a budget from the business sense of it so you know what you're spending, see? And I thought, this television thing is a money-eating monster. It doesn't eat a slice of pizza. It eats the box and the pizza. I said, God? He said, I can't do nothing unless you ask me. What do you want, Jesse? Didn't say what I needed. I could have said, I need my television bills paid every month. He would have done that. That's not the issue. He said, what do you want? I said, I want my television ministry business. I want 1 year in advance. He said, done. I said, thank you. He said, you're welcome. Don't complicate that. See, that's the problem. Because the first thing you say is, how? With the other word, now, faith is. Yeah, but no. Don't complicate it. Children are born believers till you teach them the doubt. And you're not God's adults. You are God's children. Yes, you grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. But I don't care how old Jody gets. My daughter, I only have one daughter, one granddaughter, and she don't mind me telling you, she's 47 years old. She says, she's still my child. If you 80, 85 years old, and your kid is 60, they're still your kid. See, so when I understand that, I was never taught to doubt. I did not teach myself to doubt by some, quote, lack, some manifestation that produced lack. I didn't deny it was there. I denied its right to affect me. Well, now, and it was less than 6 months. I didn't even write my partners. I didn't say, would you like to help me put a year's worth of television event? No, nothing wrong with that. I just didn't do it. I said, I will walk in the overflow. So now, for the last 4 years, our ministry of television, which is in the millions, watch this, is paid for 1 year in advance. I told that to George. I like George. George has got, he's got numbers on my, you mean you got it in the bank? I love George. You got it. He won't know. You got it in the bank. Yes. So I don't struggle when those bills come in. Why? They already paid for it. See, I decided to start doing like God does. Finish, then begin. Do you see my point? Finish divine life. Finish divine health. Finish divine healing. Now begin. Because when you know, not believe, when you know in whom you have believed, when you know, there's a vast difference. When you know, see, when I told Kathy that, she knew I meant business. And I wouldn't have got all excited about that. I could care less. It don't make no difference. In fact, the devil don't touch my money because I'm too expensive to be messed with. Because the Bible said, you catch the thief, he's got to return it sevenfold. And watch that. And the substance of his house, you can get his lazy boy recliner. You can get his chair. And he gonna pay me. I serve a Jewish God. He gonna pay me. Now, I don't mean that to be arrogant or cocky. I'm saying that scripture, all sufficiency, all things, being enriched in everything. Good Lord. Watch this, to all bountifulness. I was around some wealthy people a couple of days ago. They're talking about, people ask me all the time, what do you invest in a lot? You know, they always want to know that. I said, well, my greatest investment is my giving. And it has brought me way more return. Now, you can believe for 34 if you want. You got a choice. You can even believe for 64. You got a choice. But since you got a choice to believe the 100-fold, what's wrong with you? A lack of faith. You don't know how much you want. So you figure 34 might get you to the next need. 64 might get you to the next two needs. But when you get the 100-fold, you don't even worry about that. That don't even come into that's zero in your mind. I think Kathy's given away 20, maybe 25 real Louis Vuitton purses. Now, them suckers cost a lot of money. And she says, Jesse, it is your job to replace them. I said, I don't wear Louis Vuitton. Now, if you want a Louis Vuitton man, that's Jerry Seville. Jerry Seville is Louis Vuitton from the head to the toe. He loved Louis Vuitton. And I like it. Don't misunderstand me. I don't have a problem. But I'm just saying, and she just gives them away. That's okay with me. And I'm not talking about knockoffs that when the cops come, the guy run around the corner. No, I'm talking about the real ones. I'm just saying things, because people are watching that don't believe this, see? So I got to give them things to see. And I'll take the heat, 100-fold with persecution, but I'm not worried about Percy because he ain't cute, so it doesn't make any difference. You see what I mean? I don't care. I picked up the same statement that Kenneth Copeland says. I really don't care how much. You really have no idea how much I don't care. I love that statement. And that's not arrogance and cockiness. Why? It's biblical. I don't care about nothing. Why? Because care is a form of pride. He said, be careful for nothing. See, if you start caring about something, you're saying God can't handle your business, so you take it out of God's hand and start worrying about it. That's a form of pride.
Amen. Preaching.
That's not a form of arrogance or cockiness. That's a form of pride, so I refuse. Why? I can say no. Even Nancy Reagan said that back in the 80s, just say no. Well, when are you going to say no to the devil and yes to God? All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, when you understand that, I am a textualist. I believe this book, and the reason why, because of Luke 4, you don't have to turn to it. He said he went to Nazareth where he was brought up. And as his custom was, he had a custom. What was it? He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That means Jesus was a churchgoer. How many of you are churchgoers? Once a month? Twice a month? Do you know the average Christian goes only once a month? Twice a month's big. And they wonder why they got so much trouble in life. Because faith cometh by hearing. It didn't come by heard. I heard that. How come it ain't working? See, you got to, like they say in Texas, you got to hear it. To hear it. He went to Nazareth, as the custom was. He went to the church, went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened up the book and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What's the acceptable year of the Lord? Now here's the next statement. And he closed the book. Closed it. And gave it to a minister. What did that mean, brother? Let me have your Bible. He did this. Don't preach your opinions. Preach this. God's a textualist. So I don't preach my opinions, because opinions are transitory forms of thought floating on the ocean of life. They change with every wave. Whatever happens in life. In other words, when things messed up around Jesus, it didn't change him. It changed the disciples. But it didn't change him. See, so I don't care what the world says. I'm not changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Well, the Bible says, be you therefore imitators of God as dear children. So if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then I must be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are y'all getting this?
Yes.
I'll be able to, because this is the high place. So I'll be able to get in some deep things here. I can get real funny. I can make you fall out that chair. And you're going to have a nice time at church, but you might have to fight that problem when you walk out those doors. But if you listen to what I'm saying, you won't fight the problem. The problem runs from you because you got an answer bigger than the problem. Do you see my point? I deal with answers. I don't deal with problems. I deal with answers. When they come with me with a problem in our ministry, I go, well, what's the answer? When I have meetings with the directors and all that kind of stuff, and Kathy's chief of staff, you know, they said, well, we got a problem. I said, well, what's the answer? I usually just kind of cut them off. Well, what's the answer? You're not letting us talk about the problem. No, because if you talk about it, it gets bigger. If you want to talk, give me an answer. Why don't you just be honest? You don't know the answer. Then here comes the flattery. Well, you know, you're the head of the ministry. When did that happen? No, I want to deal with an answer. If I make an investment with someone financially and they say this, boy, I tell you what, Reverend, you need to invest in this because you know you can get your money back. That just shuts me down. Yeah. Get my money back. Why would I want to get it? Why would I want you to give it back? I'll just keep it back so you don't have to give it back.
Right.
You done lost your way of loving mine? If I'm going to invest, I've got one thing on my mind, advance.
Advance.
I'm not worried about getting my money back. Because if that's the case, I might as well keep it back so I'll make sure I get it back. You see that? Every man according as he purposed in his heart. Notice that's done before you get to church. When you prayed this morning, did you pray about the offering on your tithe that over and above giving before you got here? You see, that's why he says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly. Now, I want an honest answer. How many of you people have given money and you went back home and you thought, I shouldn't have done that? Hold your hand up. I'm going to lift both my hands up. Because you see, I did it. Because that person moved you emotionally. You're an emotional being. See, both hands up there. I have done it many times. You know why? Because I didn't purpose in my heart what I was going to do concerning my gift. See, that's done before you get to church. Not while you at church, while they're worshiping and praising. That's before. So that when George gets up or Terry gets up and presents a project, well, that's a need. No, you're not giving to the need. You're giving to the purpose of what the need will do once it is met. You've done that before you got the church. When I go to pray, if something tries to attach itself to my body, the first thing I do is says, now, body, listen. And it will. Because it goes by what it feels, and it also goes by what it hears. So I'm going to have it hear good things. I don't deny the pain. I deny it's right. We will not have that. I don't have the, you know, but suppose it don't work. That's not in my DNA. My granddaughter believes I can do anything. My daughter in the financial room believes daddy can do anything. They're right. Does that bother you? I just told you. All sufficiency, all things, anything, everything, all bountifulness. He's talking about you. But remember, if you partner with something that's not that word, you get what that partner has. You partner with the devil, you're going to get sickness, disease, poverty, lack, jealousy, envy. No fruits of the Spirit. You can forget the gifts of the Spirit because he is spiritually dead. You know why people can't understand sometimes the word of faith and prosperity? Because you see, George, this Bible is not soulish. This word of God is not soulish at all. It's not mind, will, and emotion. This word of God is spirit. And you worship him in spirit and in truth. See, that spirit talking there. Now, when your mind is conformed instead of transformed, you try to make the spirit soulish. And that's why you struggle. See, I got away from needs because you see, that's soulish. And I deal with the spirit because the word of God said he supply how many? And I don't let time defeat me. People are always asking me this, Brother Jesse, when you gonna retire? Do I look tired? I still got all my hair. Well, I'm getting a little receding hair. I'm going to be 70 years old in July. You can't have hair down to your eyebrows at 70 years old. I don't want to look like a gorilla, you know what I'm saying, down here, for God's sake. My Lord. Jesus. When are you going to retire? Now, Brother Copeland's older than I am. And people, we've been on vacation, motorcycle. I don't know how many times this has happened. Right in front of him. Brother Jesse, how much older you are than Brother Copeland? And I say, oh, a couple of years. Kenneth just laughs up a storm, you know. Like when we're on vacation in friends, I call him Kenneth. Here, I call him Brother Copeland. There's a difference. That's called reverence. You know, it's called honest, integrity. Yeah, I just laugh about it. I don't care. Why? I know I'm getting old. It's loose. Look. It's loose. I really don't care. I don't care. Why? Because this is not going to heaven. He got to change this. And when he changes it, it's going to be like this. It's going to be picked up, pulled back. The other day, they want to take a picture with Metaphor at birthday. I said, Kathy, grab my neck. Pull it, baby, back. Like a bloodhound, you know. I don't really care. I was at Jim Willoughby's church in Ontario, California. Preached a wonderful, he's got a wonderful church. Anyway, make a long story short, there was two very well-dressed people on the second set of chairs, you know. I didn't know them, you know. I went back to the green room after the service. And Brother Jim Willoughby said, Brother Jesse, there's a couple would love to meet you. They say they're your partners. They're your partners. I said, oh, I'd love to meet them. It'd be a blessing of God. I wish I could meet every partner I got. It'd be a blessing, you know. Well, I won't be able to do it here, but I'll do it in heaven. Make a long story short. I said, yeah, so here they come. And I mean, they're well-dressed, you know. They look good. I said, hello, how you doing? They told me their names. I shook their hand. I said, thank you for coming today. Thank you for being a partner. What a blessing. They said, oh, Brother Jesse, we just love you. People love me. I mean, I was in a restaurant. Let me hold that story and I'll tell you this. And this, I gave this lady a nice tip. She goes, I said, you want to hug me, right? She said, yes. I said, help yourself. thank you. Back to those people. They look at me and say, we are plastic surgeons. I said, you are. They said, yes, we are. And we're very good at what we do. And you need some work. Now, to you, that would be offensive. Not to me. Why? Because they are specialists in that. They see that. I'm a specialist when it comes to faith. I know faith when I see it. You understand? I know increase when I see it. They said, and we will do it for free. Anything you want. Look, I said, thank you. I said, but that's painful. Well, yes. I said, I'd rather stay loose. I've had enough pain in my life. I certainly don't need to give me some more. Oh, yeah, but we'll make you look 40 or 30. No, you won't. I'll look like I came back from Hurricane Katrina. I got a friend of mine. He got so much Botox, his eyes don't close when he sleeps. I've been with him in the room. He sleeps like this. And I've had a friend, what's that? He's sleeping. How come he can't close his eyes? Because he's like this. It is so tight, he can't close his eyes when he sleeps. That's freaky. This all God, this all person, all always, all sufficient, all things, all righteousness, all bountiful, all and all and all. See, you waiting to get that when you get to heaven. But the Bible says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where?
Honor.
Where?
Honor.
Where?
Honor.
As it is where?
In heaven.
So there's none of this in heaven. There's no sin. There's no sickness. There's no lack. There is no jealousy, no envy, no murder. Everybody happy? Why? Why is that? That's his will. It was like that in the Garden of Eden. That's his will. All this other stuff is not his will. See, when you partner with God, you get Eden on earth. You get heaven on earth as it is there. You partner with Satan. Lack, depression, discouragement, despondency, killing, stealing, destroying, anger. You have a choice. I'll say this in close. I'll give you a little piece I'm going to do at the Believers' Convention. If you that are, quote, word of faith, believe in prosperity, this is vitally important to you. You got to know the difference between a manifestation and a temptation. If you don't know that, you are heading for trouble. In Luke chapter 4, you don't have to go there. Satan tempts Jesus three times. Strike one, strike two, strike three, he's out. The Bible says Satan left him for a season. Jesus beat him up so bad, they had to go rest himself. See, he's not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. So he got to rest himself. He tells Jesus in the second temptation, hey, I heard you're kingdom minded. You came here to touch the world. Kingdom minded. Let me show you a kingdom. He shows Jesus everything Jesus is believing for. He said, got a lot of money in it, so you can operate in it. You see, well, how do you know the difference between a manifestation and a temptation, manifestation, temptation? You got to know the catchphrase. And here it comes. He says, listen, you're kingdom minded. Let me show you this. Shows him all the kingdom of the world. He said, and I give it to whomsoever I give it, because it was given to me. Who gave it to him? The first Adam. Yeah. But you got to understand, the church partnered with the first Adam and didn't partner with the second Adam. Watch this. Everything Jesus is believing for is in this thing he's showing him. It's yours. If all you got to do, Now, there's the catch. All you got to do is bow down and worship me once. Go look at it in the Amplified. Once. I think that's verse 7 of Luke chapter 4, verse 7 of verse 8. Once. You ain't got to do it twice. See, Adam and Eve didn't have to eat the whole apple. Just one bite. Just once. That's the difference between a manifestation and a temptation. It was a temptation, but it sure looked like a manifestation. And a lot of ministers have made that mistake, and their ministry have been destroyed. Not that they made it. Satan will make something look real good before he crumbles it. Because he's not interested in just getting one. He wants as many as he can. Notice that everything Jesus was believing for, what I am doing on a daily basis, going to the world and preach the gospel, you going to Australia and preaching, Brother Copeland going to the Gold Coast to do those things. Why? That's kingdom, boy. That's kingdom minded. My God, man. All you got to do is bow down once. You want a different example? If you catch your husband in adultery, watch this, and he totally repents. Now, that's a sad thing, but he totally repents. And you see he repents. How many says, God, forgive me? Until he's late. Once. Where is he? See, all he has to do is once. And if he's late, he's supposed to be home at 5 o'clock, and he, 5 minutes after, where is he? See, God forgives us of our sin, but a lot of times we don't lose the memory of it. If you want to totally be free of it, you have to lose the memory of it. Not just that, but the memory. See, something wrong, just once. All it takes is once. He said, that's all it took. And Jesus said, no. And he said, let me tell you something. You know who you're supposed to worship. You worship God and God him only. You too, you. You still under my authority. Satan didn't figure that out, though, because he don't even know if he's the son of God. He said, if thou be the son of God. He don't know. You got to understand, he's not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. Do you understand that? You have to understand that. He only tempts you in the flesh. He never tempts you in the spirit. Never, never, never. He's spiritually dead. You want me to give you an example? You ever been tempted to tithe? No. I've said that so many times. I love it. No, there ain't nobody tempted to tithe. George, in all the years you pastored, has anybody said, but Pastor George, you got to pray for me? Oh, I'm tempted to tithe. Why? Tithing is a spiritual concept. People that don't want to tithe, they try to put it, that's under the law. No, it was done before the law. See, they're trying to make it physical. They're trying to make it natural. Tithing is a spiritual concept. So I know the difference. I'll close with this. In Dallas, Texas, right here, 1982. I had been preaching full time since 1978. I've always loved Texas, me and Kathy. Our married life started out in Texas. We got married at Holy Rosary Catholic Church, and 3 days later we went to Arlington, Texas. I was under contract. I had to do some Six Flags over Texas stuff and clubs and nightclub and all kinds of stuff. Make a long story short, when I started preaching, I always wanted to come back to Texas. That's why I get to wear my boots and jeans. I may never put on another pair of slacks again as long as I ever live, because them jeans and boots are just not just. Anyway, a huge church in Dallas, Texas, over 6,000 people. This is when my offering was like $100, $85 for a week of preaching, which was okay. At least I thought so. I didn't know. I didn't know Kenneth Copeland. I didn't know the two Kenneths. The only two preachers I knew before I would say was the Pope and Billy Graham. That's it. That's all I knew. They said, we want you to be our staff evangelist. I said, what? Listen, Brother Jesse, all we want you to do is preach every Sunday night in our church in Dallas. He said, we have over 6,000 people. You have magnetism. Charisma. I'm like, well, what are they talking about? Listen, you can go preach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday, Sunday morning, as long as you're back Sunday night to preach at our church. We will give you a home. Good God. We will give you offices for free. We will pay you $1,500 every Sunday night. Now, $1,500 was like $15,000. Jesus, man. All you got is just be here every Sunday. Does that sounds? I said, oh, that's exactly what I wanted to come back to Texas. I wanted to put my offices here. I said, my God, they give me a home, a car too, and a car allowance besides the $1,500. It was everything I wanted, everything I was believing for. This is it. This is it. This is not it. The Lord said, that's not man, me. That's not a man. I said, that looks like you. That feels like you. And it should be you. But there was a hitch. And that's when I realized the difference between a temptation and a manifestation. Because you got your eyes so much on that manifestation. My God, man. Whoa. Yes. You're not listening to those other little words and words of vessels and containers that hold your future and your destiny. I said, I went home. And the Lord said, don't do that. I said, I get to go back to Texas. I mean, I love Louisiana. I love New Orleans, Lord. Jody was born in Arlington, Texas. He said, I know, I was there. I said, you wear boots in Texas. I like boots. He said, you can have as many pairs as you want. Yeah, but they feel better in Texas. I'm thinking of everything I think of, you know, my God. I get a home given to me, a four-bedroom home. Beautiful, gorgeous place. Car, no rent, no lease. Take the $1,500, put it in the bank, plus whatever you receive in offerings. This has got to be God. No. It was a temptation. He took me up and said, let me show you what I got. So I went back home and I was kind of disappointed. I'm not going to lie. He said, Jesse, I'm proud of you. You heard the words I really wanted you to hear. The little ones. He said, it's always, if you want to know what's going to happen in a business deal, read the small print. If you see a commercial on television, it's going to do all this wonderful stuff to your face. Read the small print. Because that's where the truth is. And God's voice is a still, small voice. Do you see that? So I turned it down. It was not 9 months later, that church went ballistic and went nuts. Lost almost everything. I'd have been in one of the biggest scandals you ever saw in your life. But the Lord, I said, oh Lord, thank you. He said, no, thank you. You heard the small words. I don't have to talk as loud to you anymore. Okay, Lord. Thank you. You're welcome. And that's when I began to develop walking by faith and not by sight. He that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. That's, I got two of them, Jesus. God, Lord, let me be like some of these animals that can do this and, you know, turn them ears around, boy. Let me, you know. I want to hear what's behind me, what's on the side of me, what's in the front. You know, I want to know. Me and George are getting some of the greatest conversations on the telephone. I probably interrupt him more. I say, George, that ain't about money. That's about power. Boy, you know, George, you know that's true. I like when George gets a little aggravated. It's funny to see George Pearson aggravated. Because he's so sweet. You know, he's so nice. But when he gets mad, his eyes start blinking. Oh, Jesus. Come on, George. Sometimes I want to stand by and say, hit him, George. I'll help you. Come on, God. Then we'll go to Brother Copeland and say, forgive us, Father. You can't do that. So I'll quote this and I'll close. But this I say, he was sowed sparingly, shall reap also sparingly. He was sowed bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as his purpose, prayed, perceived, and empowered. So let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficient in all things may abound to every good work. He is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. He was meant to seed to the sower, meant as bread for your food, multiplies your seed, so increases the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in all bountifully, to say thank you to God in everything. See, if it's not in you, it can't come out of you. You understand what I'm saying? So I can preach this stuff here because this is the high place. You call it the mountain. I call it the high, but the highest thing we got in Louisiana is an ant hill. Man from the New Orleans Water Board. They said, Reverend, you're pretty, you know, you got good investment idea. I said, listen, you want to make money? What do we have in New Orleans that's abundant? Water. Just the leaks on the pipes underground in the city, they lose 82 million gallons of water a day trying to fix all these leaks. I said, why don't you want to make some money? Why don't we ship water? We pipeline oil. We pipeline gas. Let's pipeline water. We'll fill up California. When are we going to charge them? And if the line breaks, there's no environmental problem. Because it's water. We can make Vegas a lake. We get 5 inches of rain in an hour on a thunderstorm sometimes. We know how, and we're below sea level. How come you don't flood? We pump it out. It's called taxes. We know how to pump it out. Every drop of rain that falls in New Orleans has to be pumped out. You're below sea level. We know how to handle that. Oh, we can't do that. You ask for an idea. You're going to China. You're going over here trying to get business. Listen to me. The world need water. Let me help you. Water. Does that help? You'll have a much easier for building pipelines running water than you will at oil and gas. It's a God idea. You see, everything you desire is in a God idea. Think like God and you get what God has. I'm Jesse Duplantis and I approve this message. So stand to your feet real quick.